Romans chapter 7. I have the very, very best that a man could ever hope to have in this world. I have brothers and sisters in the church, in Christ, who love me and whom I love. I have a wife who loves me, who I admire and love. I have a daughter and a son who seek to honor their father and their mother. I have friends and family who love me and prove to me continually that they would do anything for me. And I have the best that a man can ever hope to have in the world to come. I've got Christ Jesus the Lord. I have the grace of God, sure and steadfast in Christ Jesus my Lord. It's not as though I've already attained. It's not as though I'm already perfect. But right now, it is a reality in my heart that I am my beloved's and He is mine. And yet, you would think somebody that had that, somebody that had been given so much, so freely, so abundantly by God, would never cry the words that we read here this morning. And yet I find myself crying these words continually. Verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I am often in heaviness and I sorrow, and I'm unable to express it to those that are dearest to me. And I come across a scripture like this, and I read of someone like the Apostle Paul, somebody who was saved by God's grace, called out of darkness into His marvelous light, an apostle of Christ Jesus, the Lord Himself. And I hear him cry out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? There's something I want you to see here that I think will be a blessing to you, if the Lord will give me liberty to bring it. We have to be saved from ourselves. That's what salvation is. It's being saved from ourselves. Just this morning, forget about the world outside, forget about self-righteous people, forget about rebellious people. This is just about me and you. We have to be saved from ourselves. And there's three aspects of how we have to be saved from ourselves. We have to be saved from the guilt of sin. We've broken God's law. We broke it in Adam. We came forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. We're guilty before God, before His law. We got to be saved from the guilt of sin. Secondly, we're dead in trespasses and sins in our heart, in the heart we're born with. And we have to be saved from the dominion of sin working in us. And thirdly, we have to be saved from this body of sin, to be raised incorruptible, to be with Christ. And Christ Jesus the Lord does it. He does it. We don't do it. He does it. I want to look at three headings this morning. First of all, the believer's cry. The believer's cry. Secondly, the believer's deliverer. And thirdly, the believer's sweet rest. The believer's cry is, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Some might ask, well, what sin have you committed to cause you to cry out like this? What have you done that has caused you to cry out, O wretched man that I am? Well, it's more than what I've done. Although that's definitely, most definitely a part of it. What I do is sin. That's what I do. I'm a sinner. You don't even know the tip of the iceberg. But it has to do with what I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. I live in a body of death. A body of death. Does it involve sin I commit? It involves everything I do. It involves everything I think. It involves everything I say. And it's so dreadfully, horribly evil that I can't make myself understand it. I can't make myself see it. I can't make myself turn from it. I can't control it. I can't do anything whatsoever about it. I can't. That's what makes me a wretched man. I can't do anything about it. Verse 14, if you'll look there, it says, For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The Apostle Paul's a believer. The Apostle Paul trusts Christ Jesus the Lord with all his heart when he said this. The trouble is not with God's law. The trouble is, I wouldn't know this about myself if it weren't for God's law. Before God made me hear the law, I thought I was fine. Because of sin, I had no way of knowing this sin about myself. I didn't have any way of knowing this was the case with me at all. In sin's blindness, in sin's corruption, I was blinded into using God's law, using God's word, His very word, and sin blinded me into thinking that I was really good using that very law and His very word until God sent forth the commandment into my heart, and then sin became alive. And when sin became alive and I truly saw what sin is, you know why you haven't come to Christ? You haven't come to Him? You know why you haven't come to Him? You have no idea what you are in the face of a holy God that knows every single thing you've ever thought, done, and said in your heart right now where you sit. That's why you hadn't come to Him. If you find that out, if He sends forth the commandment and makes you know that, You'll come to Him. And not just one time. Throughout the rest of your days, it takes that same power and that same grace and Him making that sin become alive over and over and over before you will ever flee to Him and come to His feet. Look at verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. I don't consent to this. I'm not saying that this is something that I'm just trying to make an excuse. I don't allow this. For what I would, what I'm willing, what I want to do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. The law is doing just what it's supposed to do when it makes me confess that what I really want to do, I don't do it. Do you think you do? You know what the law will make us confess? You know what God's power and grace will make us confess? Scott just read that scripture where the Lord said, when you do your alms, when you if you give to somebody, don't sound a trumpet. Don't let people know. Tell me one time. Be honest. Tell me one time you've ever done anything for anybody and you didn't bust at the seams to go home and at least tell your wife you did it. We can't keep that bottle corked. If we do something, we got to let people know we did it. We got to boast about it. And that's sounding a trumpet. I don't care if you at home having pillow talk with your wife and telling her in the privacy of your own bedroom. You just sounded the trumpet. You had to let somebody know about it. And I don't want to do that. I hate that. I hate that about myself. And I don't want to do it. I'm not willing to do that. Or any other sin. But I cannot stop it. I cannot stop it. And I consent. I confess. I take sides with God and the law against myself. And I say, the law's good. It teaches me exactly what I am. It's held up before me, and it shows me that I am absolutely a maggot before God Almighty. Verse 17, now then, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now here is what aggravates this thing and makes me to see myself as such a wretched man. Listen now. Paul's not giving a cop-out here. Paul's not making an excuse for his sin. Paul's not saying, well, just you're going to have to overlook what I do now because I'm a sinner and I can't help this. That's not what he's saying. That is not what he's saying at all. Listen to what he's saying. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, in my old nature, in that carnal old man that I still am, dwelleth no good thing. Nothing good whatsoever. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Right now, still, this very moment, there is a nature just as carnal, just as vile, just as sinful, that hates God just as much as it ever did, that is evil in me. In fact, that's all I am in my flesh. There's nothing good in me at all. You want to talk about a believer's will? Here it is. I will to do that which is honorable, but I can't do it. You know why free will religionists try to say that Paul was not saved when he said this? Because they'd like to say after they made that profession of faith that people will look at them now and think they actually have it under control. This is the will of man. This is the will of the flesh. This is the will of what we are by nature. We can't control it before we're converted, and we can't control it after we're converted. We can't bring ourselves to Christ before we're converted. We can't bring ourselves to Christ after we're converted. We cannot control it. There's a will there in the believer that desires to stay on Christ, to hold fast with Christ and trust Him alone. But there's another nature there. There's another old fleshly carnal nature there that will not allow the believer to do the things that he wills to do. Can't do them. Just can't do them. Flat can't do them. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now you try to twist that around to where it says something other than what it says. This is the Apostle Paul. He has been arrested on the Damascus Road. Christ has called him. He is in Christ's marvelous light. He knows Christ. He said that right here in verse 20. Now if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He's talking about I'm a converted man, but sin still dwelling in me. Now what is this I? He says If I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. The I that Paul speaks of is that new man, that new creation, that new nature that's born of this holy, incorruptible seed of God that's created anew in righteousness and true holiness, that is actually Christ in you. Christ is the goodness. He is the life. We don't have it without Him. If He removed His presence from the believer, we would have no life. We would have nothing whatsoever at all. No hope. Darkness. That's all. All that would be left is this evil that's present with me in my flesh. That's all that would be left. The only thing I have wherein I can worship God and have any hope and any confidence at all is because the Spirit of Christ is in me. That's it. That is it. But now, look at this. Stay with me here and look at this. Let me show you a few scriptures. John 3, verse 6. You've got to see what Christ the Lord said. John 3, verse 6. And I'm going to try to keep this very, very simple. John 3, verse 6. John 3, verse 6. Listen to me now. Now he said in verse 5 that, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, if he's born now of the Spirit, if he's been born of the Spirit, look at the next verse. That which is born of the flesh, when you're born of your mother, that which was born of flesh is flesh. That's what it is. It hadn't been changed, hadn't been altered, hadn't been affected whatsoever. Now look, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of God, born of the Holy Spirit, is spirit. The flesh is flesh. It's what it is. The Spirit is the new creation. This is when Paul says, if I sin, it's no longer I that do it. He's saying, I'm not the old man. That's me, but it's not me. I am this new man. Look over at Galatians 2:20. I like this one. Galatians 2:20. Here's what he's saying. Galatians 2:20. I, that old man, that old, sinful, evil, corrupt man, am crucified with Christ. When Christ died, I died. When he went into the grave, I went to the grave. And the law says now nothing about me. I am dead. And the law has no claim on me. The law has no claim on a man that's dead. The law requires death. That's what it requires. But once it has death, the law satisfied. So I'm crucified with Christ, Paul says. Nevertheless, I live. I live. Yet not I. Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. Do you see that? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by not faith in the Son of God, although that's how He lived, but the life I now live is by the faith of the Son of God. It is quite literally, my life is Christ in me, who is faithful never to leave me nor forsake me, who is faithful to do everything we're going to see this wretched man cry out for right here. Watch now. And so then when John says in John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. He doesn't mean that you're born of God and now all of a sudden you got some power that you just don't sin anymore. He's saying that new man that's born of incorruptible seed that is actually Christ in you is not sinning. That's what Paul meant when he said, if I sin, it's no longer I that do it. For his seed remaineth in him. Christ's seed is in me, and I, being a child of God, his seed am in him. That's the hope of glory. Christ in you and you in him. One, united, joined together, partakers of the divine nature. That's my life. That's my spirit. That's who I walk in. That's the new me. That's the new me. He's born of God. He can't do it. But though I've been made anew by the Holy Spirit, still in this body and in this flesh, in this old carnal nature, sin lives. Sin dwelleth. That means continually it abides in me. It's with me. It's with me. It's what I am in my flesh. It is the no good thing that this flesh will always be until it returns to the dust. Do you see that? Now, verse 21. Verse 21, Romans 7:21. I find then a law. I find then a law that when I would do good, when I will to do good, when I desire to do good, that's that new man, desiring to do good. That's where the desire is in the heart, in the new man. Evil's present with me. Evil is present with me. Now read, for I delight in the law of God, in His Word, in everything He says, from cover to cover in this book about Himself and about me, I delight to hear it. I delight in it, in that inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring, waging war against the law of my mind, against that inner man, against that spirit that's willing to serve Him. This outer man wages war and brings me into captivity. Do you know what captivity is? You're captured. It brings me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That's all it's here. Do you remember when Jacob and Esau fought each other in Rebekah's womb, in her womb, and she said, "Why am I thus?" And the Lord said, "It's because you've got two different people in you. You've got two different kinds of people in you." That's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. Oh, wretched man that I am. I have two different kinds of people in me. I'm two different kinds of people. I'm an evil man, and I'm a man that has been made new in Christ Jesus the Lord. And the man that's been made new in Christ the Lord wants to do that which is good. But the evil man does not want to do that which is good. And this evil man wars against the new man and brings me into captivity so that I can't do the things that I would. Do you know what Paul is talking about when he says, "When I would do good"? Do you know what he's talking about? If you're thinking about some acts of morality or reading your Bible and doing all those things like that, just stop. Just stop thinking about that. I'm not saying that that won't play a part or you won't do that, but stop. That's not what he's talking about. You know what the good thing is that God speaks about in this Word from the beginning of it to the end of it? You know what the good thing is? The only good thing that new man wills to do is trust Christ Jesus the Lord alone. That's it. That's the good thing the new man desires to do. You know what the evil thing is that the old man desires? The evil man desires for me to do those lewd, immoral, sinful things that I love to do in that old nature. And then once I've done those, that evil that the old flesh desires for me to do is to read my Bible some more and pray some more and go to church some more and put on my suit coat and tell folks what a sinner I am. And that way, and to glory in that and to make me to think, now that's, you're better now. You're better now. You can have some confidence now. You've made up for that sin you did. That's the evil of that old man. The new man doesn't want to do either one of those things. The new man just wants to trust Christ alone. That's all I want to do. But because of that evil man, I'm brought into captivity. And I can't even just simply trust Christ. I can't simply trust Christ. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." That's a believer. Now that's a wretched man. That's a wretched man. Why would the Almighty God, why would the all-powerful God, why would the God who does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, why would He leave this believer, this new man that He's created in this body of death with such an unconquerable foe? Why would He do that? Why would He do that? It's so that we'll learn these three facts concerning our deliverance from ourselves. We have to be delivered from the guilt of sin. We have to be delivered from the dominion of sin. And we have to be delivered from this body of sin. This flesh has to be raised incorruptible. We got to learn those three things. And we think we got it. We think we got it. We'll go through a little something. Boy, we think we have got it. And then we come along and a sin easily besets us. It gets us back into that captivity. That's what easily beset means. I'm brought into captivity again. Oh, and I feel it. I know it. And I think to myself over and over and over, Clay, why can you not just stop? Why can't you just stop sinning? Why can't you do it? And I think, well, if I would just go and get in my office, shut the door, what it is I have not been in my study enough, and if I stay in the Word of God, Christ always, He gives me fresh glimpses of Christ, and if I just do that more, I know I'd be better. And so I'll go to my study and I'll start reading. And I think, I'll lay down at night and I'll think, Clay, if you just pour out your heart to God. Pour out your heart to God. Because if you pour out your heart to God, He'll hear you. And because you're falling on your face and you're praying to Him and you're crying out to Him, He'll hear you because of that. And I go on and on and on in this captivity, and nothing that I do seems to be working. Nothing I try seems to be working. Nothing I can say, nothing I can do, whatever seems to be working. And I finally come to the point to where I'm brought to the realization that I am a carnal man. I am sold under sin. That which I will to do, I cannot do. Lord, I want to trust You, and I cannot trust You. I want to turn from this flesh, to turn from my self-righteousness, to turn from my sin and my rebellion against You, and I just cannot do it, Lord. I cannot do it. Wretched man that I am, Lord, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's what I am. And then, when He's brought me to that place, to where it's a cry of desperation, to where it's a cry of utter depravity, to where it's a cry that is confessing, Lord, if You cast me into hell, it's half of what I deserve. And then like He said of the Apostle Paul when He brought him down to the dust, He says, behold, now he prayeth. Now he's praying. Now he's praying. And then He comes in sweet mercy and He whispers. That still small voice whispers in the heart. And this is what I want to talk to you about now. Our deliverer. Our deliverer. He comes and He causes me to say, verse 25, Romans 7:25. Oh God, God, thank you. You alone can deliver me from this body of death, and you do it through Christ Jesus, my Lord. I began to see what I am before God, and I think I've learned this lesson. And so I take out the old dirty mop of my flesh, and I take it to the old dirty floor of my flesh, and I begin to try to clean and clean and clean my old dirty flesh using this old dirty mop of my flesh, and all I end up is twice dirty. Until I cry out in utter desperation, and he says, I'm your deliverance. I'm your deliverance. We have to be, he brings us to see that he has borne the justice that we deserve. That he went to the cross and he laid down his life, and when he did that, the guilt of his people was put upon him. And when he bore the justice of God, he paid the price. He paid the price, and guilt is gone. It's gone. It's gone. Look, that's where Paul started here in Romans 7. Look here with me. And you go home and read it at your leisure, but look at this verse right here. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, keep that in mind, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. So that's the first thing this deliverer reveals in me when he brings me to this place, is he brings me to see that because God blessed me with all spiritual blessings in Christ, because Christ went to the cross and laid down his life for me, I'm free from the guilt of sin. It's gone. God said, I don't remember it anymore. The second thing I've got to be reminded of is that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, hath made me free, has delivered me from the law of sin and death that's in my members. He releases me, delivers me, sets me free from the captivity that I'm brought into in the new man, in spirit, by my members. He sets me free from that dominion. And then I made to see, Lord, this has been as foolish for me to try to stop this with the works of my hand, by my strength, by praying and reading and going to church and doing all these things to soothe my conscience. This has been as foolish as for me to try to raise myself from the grave and deliver this fleshly body and make it incorruptible and without sin. That's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to make this body incorruptible and without sin. And all I've accomplished is making it look maybe a little better on the outside, and had other folks brag on me a little bit, and that old man just say, see there? They think the same thing I do. You're good. And all the while, I'm evil against God. Just evil, because I'm not trusting Christ to deliver me from the guilt of sin, the dominion of captivity in my members, and my body incorruptible into his presence. This thing's him. Salvation's of the Lord. It's not of us. Now, Paul is brought into the joy. He's brought into the joy of this by his deliverer coming to him in spirit and saying, Paul, I've delivered you from the law. And now I'm delivering you from this captivity you're in your members, so you can once again behold, I'm the one who's delivering you. And Paul begins the 8th chapter here in that realization of that joy filling his heart. And I have to say, I kind of can enter into what he said here, how he must have felt, because when I sat down to prepare this message, I wasn't sitting down to prepare this message. I was sitting down to prepare something else. And I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked. And all I discovered was, Clay, all you're doing is trying to make up for the sin that you are. And I began to cry out, Lord, I'm wretched. I am a wretched man. And he brought me right here to this spot and delivered me. And as I came towards the close of it, my heart began to brim, just to overflow with joy and to see it. And here's what he said. He breaks into chapter 8, and concerning Christ delivering us from the guilt of our sin, verse 1, he says, there is therefore now, right this minute, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's none. None. No condemnation. They can't be condemned. The guilt's gone. And then concerning Christ delivering me from myself, from my old evil nature, verse 2, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And here's how Christ delivered me from the condemnation and how he's delivered me from my own sinful depravity, how he continues to do it. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, for me, for this wretched man that I am, he condemned the sin that's in my flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'd like you to just go through sometime and count how many times he says, not after the flesh, not after the flesh, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. And if he don't deliver us to see what that is, we don't have any idea what the oldness of the letter is. We don't have any idea. And he says, for they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, we just saw that he was brought into captivity and began to mind the things of the flesh. And we do that. But then Christ comes again in the power of the Spirit, and he causes us to mind the things of the Spirit over and over and over. And he says down here, verse 9, and ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells, abides, lives in you. Now, that's how I'm delivered from the guilt and how I'm delivered from this captivity. Now, what about this body of death? What about this body of death that's going to perish and turn into dust one day? How's it going to be delivered? By the same one. Look, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And so here's the grand conclusion to the whole matter which Christ teaches us continually. Here it is, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. You see that? Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You know what it is to live after the flesh? It's thinking, when you fall into that captivity in sin, it's to think that you can go to church more, read your Bible more, pray more, do something more that will help correct you, abstain more from whatever that sin is that you're doing, and that you're better then. That's living after the flesh. We can't do that. That's living after. That's the captivity we got to be saved from, brethren. Now look. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Tell me now. Tell me. What's the only way a believer, what's the only way a sinner's going to die? By thinking himself self-righteous or by living in his sin? That's what it is to live after the flesh. If you do those things, you'll die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What is it to mortify the deeds of the body? What does he mean, me mortifying the deeds of the body? He just said, I can't do the things I would. I'm helpless to do what I would. How then can I mortify the deeds of the body? You know what it is? It's not abstaining from this or abstaining from that or doing more of this religious thing or more of that religious thing. It's that thing that my inner man has been wanting to do from the beginning. And through the Spirit of God delivering me, I just trust Christ. I just simply cast my care on Him and trust Him. That's what I willed to do all along. And He brings us to see. Through the Spirit, He brings us to mortify the deeds of the flesh by turning us from everything that we've been trying to call righteousness and that we've been looking to that's brought us down and tried to lift us up to just Christ. And therein the flesh is mortified. It's treated like it ought to be treated, like it's dead, and it don't matter whether it does something to make you want to commend it or it does something to make you discouraged. Just it's the same either way. It's dead. But that's the only way that we mortify it. Verse 14, for as many as led are of the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. That's what he keeps teaching. You're son of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's how we mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. It's a cry. It's a cry. It's a twofold cry. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Father, Father, I thank you. Through Christ Jesus, you've delivered. That's mortifying the deeds of this flesh. And then he says, and the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, here's the sweet rest that this Christ brings us into when he delivers us from this captivity of our members. Look back at verse 25. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how I'm delivered from this body of death. And he comes to this place right here. This is his rest. Listen now. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I myself, the man that I am, the new man, the man I really am, I myself, that new man in spirit, that's how I serve God. I see it now. I see that the only way to mortify this flesh, the only way to serve God, the only way to walk in His presence, to be accepted of Him, is in spirit. That's it. That is it. And I also know this, but with the flesh, law of sin. I'm not discouraged about it anymore. It doesn't mean I go out now and I'm just going to be a slave to sin and do and just live. It means just like it was discouraging me a while ago, now it don't discourage me. I see what it is. It's going to be what it is. It's going to be this struggle from then on. The way I'm going to serve God is in the inner man, trusting Him to deliver me. For God, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know what Paul's saying? You know what he's saying? Look at Psalm 119, and I'll close. This is what he's saying. I hope you read this. So I'm right here with me, and you see it like you've never seen it before. Psalm 119. I'm going to pick up in verse 67. Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Where'd you go astray? Right here to these outer members, right here to this old man, right here in his flesh, looking to it. I went astray before I was afflicted. But now have I kept thy word. What word? Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts where? With my whole heart. Now look now. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Where did Paul say he delighted in it? In the inward man. Now listen. It's good for me that I have been afflicted. You know what Paul said there at the end of Romans? When he said, I thank God. Thank God through Jesus Christ. So then, now I see. It's been good for me that I've been afflicted. I've been brought to, been delivered one more time to see I serve God in the spirit, not in the flesh. I serve nothing but sin with my body and my flesh, my outward members, my old man. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. You know why? Because the law of God's mouth, from cover to cover, says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Trust him. Cast your care on him. And he brings me again to do that. To do that. And then, look, Romans 8:18. And all this comes across to the believer when this happens. You know how he said, no chastening for the moment is pleasant. It's grievous. It's not joyful at all. But afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Afterwards, after you've been through this, it makes you to see why God would leave me in this body. It makes me to see that He's teaching me that He delivered me and that He continues to deliver me and that He'll yet deliver me from guilt, from the dominion of my members, and even from this whole body. He's going to raise it new one day. And He makes me to behold that. And you know what I say? When I see that wisdom and that power then, I see it, and in verse 18 I say, you know, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, if I've suffered this little light affliction, and I've seen this wisdom and power of my God through this, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I haven't seen the half. The half hasn't been told of the wisdom and power of my great Redeemer. And so we're brought. This is how God keeps us from the evil of our flesh, of ourselves, and keeps us sanctified in Christ, in spirit, in truth. This is how He does it, so that we cry, I thank God through Christ Jesus my Lord. I'm delivered.